Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 21st, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 62, the third paragraph, beginning with "This is the how and why of it," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Marge E. will be reading the 12 steps. Athena B. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Leslie M., Sandy D., and K.P. The share ID for Sunday, The share ID for Sunday, October 20th, the special edition is 13,547. That's 13547. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 13,548. That's 13548. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggio will be making the announcement. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Marge E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Marge E. from Massachusetts. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Margie. Athena B., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
I would be happy to. This is good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Athena B.
You're welcome.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 62, the third paragraph that begins with, "This is the how and why of it." And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. So, Leslie M., good morning. Could you get us started, please?
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal, we are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the
Leslie,
new...
Leslie, just that one paragraph.
Yeah,
Did I do something wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. That was me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant art through which we passed to freedom. This paragraph was so important to me in my recovery because I thought I was in charge of everything. I thought that I had to control things. I did it nicely. People, you know, were like, oh, you're always so nice. Yeah. But I repeated myself many, many, many times. And I thought that I knew what was best for everyone. The thing is, the sentence that really explained this to me was, there is a God and I'm not it. And I, through that, I have realized that I don't have the big picture. I have no idea, none at all, what anyone else is supposed to do. I simply know, when it comes right down to it, I barely know what I'm supposed to be doing, and certainly not what anyone else is supposed to be doing. And I learned this, this is all about the mental obsession for me. And I learned this because I had been... I got abstinent originally in January of 2018, and I was 7 weeks abstinent and in my fourth step, and I heard something at a meeting that got stuck in my head, and it caused me, and I had a binge over it that day. And that was when I had to finally, obviously I surrendered, but I had always known that I was powerless over the food. The thing that I didn't always know was that I was powerless over my thinking. I thought that if I thought it, then it must be okay. And so, and I found that that is not the case. That in the very beginning of my abstinence, I had to often, if I had a thought or a reaction to something, that I definitely had to tell myself, you know, you need to turn that totally around. You know, need to do exactly the opposite so that I could, you know, be in alignment with God's will. It says here, most good ideas are simple, and this concept was a keystone of new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. And that's exactly what has happened for me. I have passed to that freedom. I have that neutrality around the food, and the mental obsession has been lifted from me. And it certainly wasn't of my doing. People will come up to me and say, how'd you do it? What's going on? I said, I can't tell you that. I can tell you the footwork, the actions that I have taken, but I didn't do this. And I know it because I could never do it. I've been in OA 29 years, and as I said, I'm just celebrating 19 months of abstinence and recovery. So I had to finally, start this, do this work, because it's a spiritual program. I have a spiritual malady that required a spiritual solution, and the spiritual solution is there is a God, and I'm not it, and I'm gonna get out of my own way is really what it took for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M., and sorry for my interruption. I have so much highlighting and writing in my book, I thought that was the end of the paragraph.
No problem.
Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph, the third paragraph on page 62?
Julie E.B.?
Tara L.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Liz F.
Who is that? Lisa?
Liz F.
Oh, Liz S. Okay.
Mo H.
Jackie H.
And Mo. Okay, and then we're going to stop right there. Jackie, I'm going to get you on the next lineup. Okay, so I have, and thank you for being so calm, everybody. That was nice. So I have Julie E.B., Tara L., Reggie O., Liz S., Mo H. So go ahead, Julie E.B., please. Star one to unmute, Julie.
I'm here. I'm sorry. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs for today. And I'm just really grateful today to be able to share in this paragraph. Why did I quit playing God? Well, here's the how and the why of it. I always had a how and a why. I knew why I'd gotten in the food, why everyone else was wrong. I knew why everything was happening in my life, or I had no idea why, and it just was happening to me. And the how was a complete mystery to me. It seemed like other people knew how to get through life, but no matter what I did, it seemed like it was the wrong thing. And I would come to the end of the day, the middle of the day, so much pain, and I just had to blot out life. So why did I quit playing God? The second part of the sentence is what I love. It didn't work. I do not quit playing God even today for any other reason than it doesn't work. I was recently discussing what happens when my young adult teen children, when I get involved in their disputes. Guess what? It doesn't work. Guess what? It makes it worse. What about when I try and play God in my fears and I try and project into the future what's going to happen in 1 hour or 6 hours or 2 days from now? It doesn't work because it turns out I don't have the power of life and death. I don't have the power to change other people. I don't even have the power to change the emotions and thoughts that flash through my brain. And so it doesn't work. Playing God and deciding that I know what's best for other people just puts me on a collision course. This is a free life. When I quit playing God, I have so much extra time. People ask me all the time, how do you work this program 3 or 4 hours a day? Well, that's the amount of time that I used to spend playing God, making other people my gods, and trying to arrange my life, either mentally or by managing things just right. And boy, now I have tons of free time because I'm powerless, and it's the best news of my life today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Tara L., followed by Reggie O. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. So great to hear my fellows again this morning. Oh, this paragraph, it speaks to me. I was just thinking about it as I was doing a 10th step this morning, and I was asking God's will for me. And I thought, that's just it. When I get uncomfortable or things are going wrong or it's because I'm in my own well. I'm in self. I'm trying to make things happen. And here it reminds me, you know, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. And next we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director, right? When I step into that role, that's when as I heard previously, I don't have time. That's when I'm trying to make things happen. It just life gets so busy and I'm upset and I find myself in the bedevilments. And then when I step back and I say, wait a minute, that's because I'm trying to play God. I'm trying to make things happen. Did I stop? Did I ask for direction? I really believe that my higher power doesn't give direction just to give direction. I have to ask. I have to stop and I have to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing your job. What is your opinion here? God, what is your opinion here? Should I have the muesli this morning or the shredded wheat? You know, and then I ask for intuition and I go with my intuition. You know, I ask for intuition, an inspiring thought, a decision. This morning I was thinking about my job and I'm like, I don't need to know. I just need to ask for direction and things will happen. And my life flows and goes easily when I ask for direction, when I ask my higher powers and opinion in all things, big and small. And it just seems to work out. And that I'm grateful for today. I'm grateful for having neutrality with the food. I'm grateful that my family is coming closer together. I'm grateful that I'm able to see where I am in self and I am causing these problems. I'm grateful to have the steps that I get to work every single day and use that design for living to get out of self and to listen for my higher power's will. And I'm grateful for all of you here today that bring this beautiful meeting to us. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. Okay, Reggio, it's your turn, followed by Liz S.
Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, good morning, everybody. This is Reggio, very gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, this is the how and why of it, the how and why of how we can reduce ourselves, how we can have our self-centeredness reduced, because I've just this the earlier paragraphs always teach me even more and more deeply how my life has been run on selfishness and self-centeredness, which was such a shock to me, you know, such a shock to me that when other people reacted against me that I had actually something to do with it and probably got the ball rolling. So my eyes have been opened here, you know, in these last few paragraphs, and I realized that, you know, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own power. I don't have the power. I'm not the director. I'm an actor, and I had to have God's help. So this is, you know, this is how I do it, and the first thing I have to do is quit playing God. And, you know, I've never played God, but I kind of took on a role such as that, you know, very early on in life. I don't know how much of it I took on and how much it was given to me, but I certainly took on both. And I learned that was my job. I learned that was how I thought I was getting love and respect. What I was getting was just tied up in knots inside and a lot of fear and a lot of things. So when I think about quit playing God today, not playing God today, I actually can relax and drop my shoulders down because, God is God and Reggie is Reggie. And I have my work to do, but it's certainly not the work of God. You know, God does the heavy lifting. So when I let God be my director, when I just can relax and let God be my director, let God take the lead, can ask, can, you know, to make that surrender, which is what we're getting ready to do in this section of the book here. I get to relax and do my part, and that's the only thing I have to do. And that's plenty, you know, that's plenty, but it's nothing that I can't do. It's nothing that stresses me out. You know, I have a God, as I said, that does all the heavy lifting. So it's a simple idea, it says, and in some ways it is, you know, God is the director and, you know, and I'm the actor. God is the parent and the child. But God is God and always there and lives deeply within me. And, you know, and we'll go forward into step 11 where we get to pray for the power to carry it all out. And we are given that. We're given that daily by God's direction and care. And, And we certainly have a beautiful classroom here learning about how it all works in this community, which I am ever so deeply grateful for. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Reggio. Okay, Liz F., you're up next, followed by Mo H.
Excuse me. It's Liz S. recovered, and very grateful. I woke up this morning in a lot of fear, and I found myself saying aloud, trust God. And that's what I have to do, is to just trust God, because I cannot handle the fear on my own. I have to trust God as I understand him. And when I read this paragraph, what I really see is that I have to get out of the way, because I've been in the way most of my life. And what I finally decided, which was the turning point for me in giving up, was that if I continued with my plan, I was in big trouble going forward. I really had to give my life to God's plan. And that's what I really read in this paragraph, that my plan has not been working and it was only going to get worse, that I really had to go with God's plan. And this paragraph to me is also absolutely a promise that my life is only going to get better if I let God lead me and follow his direction. And at one point I got very confused. Is God my father? Is he my principal? Is he my director? Blah, 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 blah. And someone in the program just said to me, Liz, God's just God. I laughed because I remember, Liz, God is just God. Don't worry about the semantics. And it was just made it so much simpler. And I do get direction and I do get love and I get all of those things. And I didn't have to worry about what I was going to call, you know, God. I get the direction I need. I get the love that I need. I get all of that. I get the trust. And as long as I turn my life over in step three, I have a much better life. I have a much better chance. And things are much better when I get out of the way and self is, you know, is pushed aside. Things are much better, and I do get direction, and that sixth sense gets stronger, and my life, even when things are rough, is still better than when I was trying to run the show, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. Okay, I have Mo H., and after Mo H., Kathy Jo P. is going to make a convention announcement, and then I'll take another lineup with Jackie H. being on the top of that lineup. So go ahead, Mo H., please.
All right. Good morning. Mo H., recovered compulsive eater here in Walnut Creek, California. I was going to remind you about Kathy Jo, but she can come after me. That's fine. All right. So here we go. This is the how and the why of it. The how and the why of it. Giving us directions. We had to have God's help. Oh, no, that's the line before. First of all, we had to quit playing God. That's a requirement. Quit playing God. And I didn't know I was playing God for so many years. I did not know. And then the next line, it didn't work. I mean, every sentence in this paragraph is blowing me out. It didn't work. It never worked. And then next, what's next? We decide in the hereafter, in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. God is my director. Every day, all throughout the day, when I am stressed, call on God. Please, God, show me the next right action. When I'm confused, pause, pray, proceed. Those wonderful words we hear on this line. God becomes my guide, and so I don't have to worry. I can just get through life leaning on God all the time. And then this is the most good ideas are simple. Yes, it's a simple idea. And this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed. And a keystone locks the whole structure together. This pulls all of everything we've learned together. So it's a wedge-like. It's the final piece put in place at the top. So now that I have that in place, that my structure is built and I can walk through it to freedom one day at a time. And, you know, just things keep coming at me. They're not going to stop. You know, I had this fallacy, the lie I believed that when I lost my weight, everything would be fine. And I know many of you and a lot of you can identify with that. When I lost my weight, everything would just run smoothly. Well, not so. Life is life on life's terms. Like my daughter came to visit over the weekend, and it was wonderful to have a visit. Well, visit and do some of her own stuff. But I just needed her to go. I needed some time and space to myself, and I really had to, you know, be present and be conscious and be grateful that she's willing to spend time with us and visit with us and share her life with us. And that was God's time. And you know what? Like someone said, there was enough time in the rest of the day to do what I needed to do.
Time, please.
And I think, yep, I think with that I'll pass. Thank you, thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Mo H. Okay, we have a convention announcement from Kathy Jo P. And after Kathy Jo makes that announcement, we'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis. The convention, yes, it's coming up very, very soon, November 15 to 17. And we have just 3 short days until registration closes. So if you're on the fence, I encourage you to get on and get registered. I was there 2 years ago, and it was over the top fantastic, electrifying, lit. And every talk was incredible. I literally sat on the edge of my seat. And when I left, that high did not go away, because the high that came was the connection with God and the recovery and the possibility that we can continue this work after we leave. It's not a high that goes away. So I invite you to come to this mountaintop and be with 800 other fellows and just live the program. The Marriott Hotel is where it's at the Newark, New Jersey Liberty International Airport. That hotel is probably filled up, but the Renaissance is just a hop, skip, jump away. Their prices are even a tiny bit less, and they give you door-to-door limousine service all weekend long. So please, please go to www.avisionforyouinfo and register. We want you there. The more, the merry. And we can celebrate recovery. You can meet some of these people that you hear each day on the line. And you know what? A lot of people found their recovery by coming to that weekend. Many have said that's where it began for them. I had open heart surgery 2.5 weeks ago, and I'll be there. If I can be there, you can too. Let's do it.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P., and let's do it. We're looking forward to seeing you at the convention, everyone. So only a few days, so register if you haven't. Okay, just a reminder, we're on page 62, the third paragraph. This is the how and why of it. We're commenting on that one paragraph only. And I've got Jackie H. starting off the lineup, and who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Who came in after Bruce E.?
Mag C.
Meg, and someone else?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Renee.
And Renee.
Carla N.
Was it Marla?
Carla.
Oh, Carla. Carla. And what was the first initial, Carla?
N as in Nancy.
N as in Nancy. Okay, let's stop there for now. Okay, I have Jackie H., Bruce E., Meg. I'll think of your last initial, Meg. Deborah G., Renee, and Carla N. So go ahead, Jackie H.
Okay. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and anorexic. But the frog in my throat in Colorado. Anyway, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for all the wonderful shares. Wow. You know, I had no clue until I came into 12 Step that I was, quote, playing God. I just knew my life didn't work very well. And coming into here, I found out why my life wasn't working very well. And, you know, I wish I could say, I don't play God anymore. I just don't play God anymore. I've turned everything over to Him, and 24/7, I don't play God anymore, and my life is beautiful. Well, my life is beautiful, but every single time, you know, I'm human. I have this human malady. I have this spiritual malady that I am full of fear. When I am in my own self, I'm full of fear. I'm full of character defects. And that's not the real person that I am. The real me is this beautiful essence of God. I know I talk about that a lot, but that's just how I have come to see myself. And that there's this little self and there's this big self. And this little self always wants to get in the way and play God and make things happen. And every single time I do a 10th step, I get to see where that's sneaking in. That plain God is sneaking in. And I'm just glad today, I'm grateful today that I have this opportunity to have the tools, to have this 10th step. This is transformational for me, because every time I do one, a layer gets peeled away. That layer that wants to play God gets peeled away, and I get closer. I get more plugged in, and I get more connected. I have less fear until maybe the next time that something comes up and triggers me, and then I get to do this process again. But you know what? Because of this program, because I do know that I have a power greater than myself, finally, thank you, God, and I know that He has my back. And as somebody said earlier, I loved, that I get to let God do the heavy lifting. I've tried to do the heavy lifting for years and years and years and years, and it didn't work. And I alienated people from me. I caused myself grief and everybody else. And I will pass here. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. Okay, Bruce E., you're up next, followed by Meg C. Star one to unmute, Bruce.
Okay. Yes, it's me. It's Bruce E. Thank you, everybody. And, I've got this one written up in my book, too, so it's hard to see where the paragraph starts and where it ends and all that kind of stuff. But I see here where it says, this is how the how and why of it. The how and the why of it? Okay. So how and the why of it. All right. This is the whole thing, the alpha and omega of it, I guess you could say, the how and the why. First of all, not second, third, fourth, not, you know, down the line somewhere, you know, we got to start playing God, but all this other stuff comes first and then play God. No, it says, first of all, I had to quit playing God. And I remember my sponsor telling me that when he first started sponsoring me. He said, you got to quit playing God. And I didn't even know I was playing God. You know, I didn't even know I was doing that. You know, that's why it takes other people that are honest to you know, to try to inject some honesty in our lives. And he said, you got to quit playing God. Didn't even know I was doing that, you know. God's up there going, hey, Bruce, you ought to quit playing God. He's telling that to me through my sponsor. And all of a sudden I'm going, oh, man, I have been playing God. I have been playing God for so long, giving people advice, unsolicited advice all over the place. I'm playing God when I do that. I think I have the right to give my sponsor, the person I'm sponsoring, I have the right to give them advice, but I really don't have the right to give other people advice unless I ask permission. So when I do, when I ask, give advice unsolicited, I'm playing God. And then Bill goes on to say it didn't work. Well, yeah. And how did he know it didn't work? Because he tried it. He must, you know, if it doesn't work, if you figure out it doesn't work, it's because you tried it and it didn't work. I've tried this. I tried playing God. It doesn't work. People get furious and upset at me, and they don't. You know. Next, we decided that the hereafter in this drama of life. Yeah, it is a drama of life, isn't it? God was going to be our director. Okay, God, I'll let you be my director. I've been trying to be the director, the actor, and all that. Arrange this and that. Whatever. It didn't work. He is a principal, we are his agents. He is a father, we are his children. Well, you know, that's putting me in my proper place by it saying that. He's the principal and director, he's the father, and I'm his child. That puts me exactly in the place that I'm to be, is I'm his child. Okay, I'm his agent, meaning I'll try to work for him. But he's the father. He does it, like I heard earlier, he does the heavy lifting. He's a principal. He does all that hard stuff. Yeah, thank you. Most ideas are simple. This concept was, yeah, okay, keystone. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Bruce E. Okay, Maxie, your turn, followed by Deborah G.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Maxie in Denver, Colorado, and I used to actually absolutely despise this part of the book because I came in as a absolute and complete atheist, and not just that, but I had my own prejudices that had been, quote-unquote, proven to me time after time after time again. And when I first came into program, gosh, it's almost two decades ago, I really had a hard time accepting something outside of myself. I was so fearful after that abusive childhood that it was just very difficult to accept anything else. And so, you know, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God, it's taken time. It's taken time, and this is the crux of the program. It's the crux of the program even for me as now an agnostic. No matter where I've been in this program, in my program, at first it was God, G-O-D, good orderly direction, because I was terrified of completely letting go of the illusion of having control. And I would just I had white knuckles on my life. You know, I'm like, yeah. But with introduction of that food plan where nothing had worked before in my life and having a sponsor who listened to me and tolerated my self-centeredness, tolerated my prejudice, it was amazing. So group of drunks was G-O-D, right? Group of drunks. And the group became worthy. You guys became so worthy of my trust and surrender. You tolerated my overblown self, myself and my ideas. You welcomed me back over and over again, despite my prejudice, despite my craziness, and despite my anger. And then you helped me with my mistakes. So of course that the group is so worthy. And then as time went on, I started to find a light deep within me. And that inner self and that incredible warmth and surety that I belong to something greater than, and that the world is not out to get me, no matter what happened. And because I'm still living, I am still trying, I am still learning today, that I absolutely cherish this paragraph almost more than anything else, this chapter, this step three, more than anything else, because it helps me with the rest of the steps that come afterwards. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg C. Okay, Deborah G., you are up next, followed by Renee.
Thank you so much. My name is Deborah, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much, Kathleen, for your service and all those that have shared. I am learning so much about, since I put the food down, how the feelings come up and what to do with them. They can be huge. Recently, I had gotten triggered with some childhood fear, huge fear with something that happened. And it took me to that place of this paragraph of wanting to control, wanting to do something to fix it, wanting to get rid of the fear. You know, and it wasn't a lot of outward stuff. In fact, I don't think it was outward. It was all in my head, replaying and all this stuff in my head, fear stuff, and trying to control in my head ways of this, ways of that. It was just overwhelming. And until I went to the prayer and meditation, that was my saving grace. You know, I was in situations where I could meditate. And just feeling the fear, staying with the feelings. I'm learning to lean into the feelings, to not try to escape with food, but to feel them, just to be with them, to witness them. And then through that time of practice with that meditation, sitting, not asking, not wanting, not escaping, just sitting, a welling up of compassion and love comes up. That is the presence. That is God. And I got free. And it felt so good. And thank you all for all your shares and 12-stepping me today.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Renee, you're up next, followed by Carla N. And Renee, if I could get the first initial of your last name, please.
This is Renee, grateful, recovered compulsive eater, currently stranded in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and very grateful to be, because I'm very grateful for this meeting. First time I've been able to be on, and now I'll really look for ways to be on in the future. Great focus, great shares, great topic. I definitely have come to believe that is the Bible that's central to my faith, and so the Big Book. I had always suspected, now I know how central it is to our program because of the origins and you know, the big percentage that worked in the program then, and as I've gotten away from it, what a difference that makes. And in seeing several glimpses of psychic change, just really excited to keep working with the Big Book and my sponsor and steps 10, 11, and 12 daily. Judgment has been a big problem for me, and in that way, playing God and not surrendering my will. I see myself as a very non-discriminate, prejudiced person, but yet I'll have these thoughts and the people I see and how they look or how they come across. And the other thing is to focus on carrying the message and realizing that this silence that I've always felt I needed, I need to do in my own space. And when I'm in the space of others, I need to be in a place to carry the message. And so a lot of realizations have come the last several months of re-entering the steps with a new sponsor and having come to a real desperate place after 31 years with my husband passing. And with that came a lot of weight gain, which was also selfish in terms of a negative perception of me being able to carry the message. And so I'm realizing more and more and more about the self-centeredness or egotism and everything else that's wrapped up with that, dishonesty and all of the rest of my character defects. And I'm just really thankful for this paragraph and the focus of the big book that can keep me focused on step 12 on a daily basis. So thanks very much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Renee. And I think you said your initial was F, Renee F. Okay. So Carla N., you are up next. Go ahead, please. Are you there, Carla? Star one to unmute. Okay, maybe we lost Carla. So I can take one or two people. Who else would like to share on that?
Patty, please.
Patty? Okay, go ahead, Patty. Patty, go ahead. Star one to unmute.
Sorry, you guys. I muted again. Hi, this is Patty T from Southern California, recovering today by the grace of God. And, you know, I just love these shares this morning. And what struck me is this part where it says, first of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. I'm an actor by profession. And one of the things that I was given instructive criticism of in my early days was that I didn't listen to direction. I didn't follow the direction of the director because I thought I knew better, right? I thought my instincts would lead me across the stage and to the audience, whatever. And you know what? That is so true of my life. I make that decision to turn my will and my life over to God, and I take it back every time I fall into self-centered fear. Every time I start to feel free, I think, oh, I've got this, right? And that self-will comes up. And this program enables me to keep learning, to go back and to learn to trust the parent, the director. You know, because I never had good instruction in my youth from those people, especially the parents. So I have to relearn all that. And I'm so grateful for these rooms and the people and this community that helped me get out of self and come back to the principles of this program, which lead me to God, my director, my true director. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty T. Carla, are you there? Carla N? I have a couple minutes if you're there, Carla. And if not, would anyone like to take like a minute and a half?
Hi, this is Beverly L. from Maryland.
Okay, go ahead, Beverly.
Hi, this is my first time sharing on the meeting, so thank you for your service. And I enjoyed all the shares, and I just wanted to say that this paragraph really speaks to me, especially with the part where it says we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. And I heard someone else saying how they're not so tired now that they stopped trying to run everyone else's life. And that has been my story, too. It's just so much more relaxing to stay in my lane and to trust God. He's the Father, and I am His child. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Beverly. It's good to hear you share this morning. That was great. Okay, we are going to end this meeting then. Well, we're going to stop sharing. We're going to keep going for a little bit here. So I'd like to thank Team Monday, Marge E., Athena B., Leslie M., Sandy D., KP, Reggio, Mo H., and Kathy Jo P. And we're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Sandy D., would you please read a vision for you?
Sure. Thanks. This is Sandy D. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.